some we've seen and to meet others, and just really appreciative for the opportunity to encourage you this morning and for the Lima congregation for feeding us and doing all the things that you guys have been able to do. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You know, the challenge of preaching a message on what does the Spirit do is you can't do her in one run. So, you kind of had to decide, you know, what direction to go. So I thought this was appropriate, using this as a template here. The Spirit has set us free. Set us free to fulfill the requirement of the law. In verse 2, he says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death." Verse 4, "So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Okay? So the Spirit has set us free. And if we will walk by the Spirit, we'll fulfill the requirement of the law. It's a pretty appropriate place to begin. What does the Spirit do? Well, he set us free. And he can also help us to fulfill the spirit of the requirement of the law. Mike actually said that last night. I'll start by telling a story. I before I became a full-time evangelist, primarily worked in restaurants. One particular restaurant I ended up managing for quite a while, and worked at Texas Roadhouse in Montana. I did service manager, I did kitchen manager, I did all of it, won all the awards, did all the things. Now, you might find this hard to believe, but it's incredibly difficult to staff a kitchen, okay? A little bit of a spirit in America where people don't want to work. You might have noticed that. So keeping people that want to, you know, wash dishes and sit in a 120-degree kitchen and over a 350-degree oven and fryer, you know, that's tough work. We got a place in Montana called the Alpha House, and the prisons are all overflowing in Montana. So what they'll do is they'll pre-release some of the nonviolent offenders, you know, the ones that, you know, the nonviolent ones, right? You use your imagination. And so they'd throw them in this Alpha House, and the deal was, we'll let you out early, you just have to keep a job. Now those are really great employees, because they can't quit. So they'd send these guys over all the time, and I met, you know, some... You know, I met a lot of cool people. You know, I mean, these are, in this case, these are men who have hit rock bottom, and they're looking for how to climb their way out. So those are our kind of people, right? You know, again, that was said yesterday. I don't know if being comfortable in the upper middle class in America is really enough to get people to wake up spiritually. But if you hit rock bottom, you might be kind of wondering, what on earth is this life all about? So... I've got a bunch of these guys working, and Friday night rolls around, and I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of tickets hanging, and super, super busy, and it's packed. And boy, that will reveal your character. So, almost like clockwork, the fry cook, for example, he'd have 10 to 15 tickets, and he'd be stressing out, and he'd be messing up orders and getting behind, and the pressure, he would crumble under the pressure. He'd take his hat and he'd throw his hands up in the air and said, I'm out of here. And he'd walk out the back door. Walk out. You ever have someone walk out on the job? You ever seen that? You know, the problem about being a pre-release is you're not allowed to have a car. So they never made it any further than the back dock. So you could, you know, give them 5-minute head start, walk out the back door, and sure enough, they'd be sitting there smoking their cigarette, you know, trying to calm themselves down. You guys get the point. Slam the door on their way out, but they don't have a car, so they can't go anywhere. So the thoughts already are sinking in. If I walk out of this job, I go back to prison. So I walk out there. I gave him his 5-minute smoke break head start, you know. And you know what these guys almost inevitably said every single time? Oh, man, Nolan, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Just got so frustrated. So you finish your cigarette and you come on back in, all right? Okay. You know what I couldn't help but notice? That's someone who's trying to overcome an old man, right? And a past, but they haven't kicked their old stinking thinking. Okay? Do you think that tendency to get mad and to crumble under pressure, do you think that helped them get to prison or hurt them in the first place? Okay? That's probably parts of their character. That's probably what got them locked up in the first place. The inability to control their spirit. But what I couldn't help but notice is you got guys sitting out there on the back dock, thankful for the opportunity. Thank you so much for this job. I really need it. Nolan, appreciate the opportunity, man. Don't fire me, please. I didn't mean to do it. But man, when the heat in the kitchen got turned up there, it revealed their character. But that mind, it's powerful, isn't it? Those neural pathways that are dug in that mind to quit when it gets hard, those are entrenched pretty deep. Romans chapter 8, he says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. Okay. You know, to a degree, has this guy been given an opportunity to be set free? They let him out. Can't have a car and you got to hold a job, right? Okay. Verse 4 says, fulfill the requirement of the law. This is just an illustration. Okay. Is he fulfilling the requirement of the job? Well, no, he walked out. You know, he's not. So what's the problem? The mindset in the middle is the problem, isn't it? You see, he was given the opportunity to be set free, and the purpose is so that he could fulfill the requirement of the job, but what's not connecting those two things? The mindset, right? See, he brought his old mindset into a new opportunity, didn't he? Verse 3 tells us what the mindset's supposed to be. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You see, Christ has removed the excuses, hasn't he? Well, you ever heard this one? Well, to err is human. Are you mere man? I thought we heard that you've been born again. You know, well, I can't do that. I'm only human. Well, I thought we were new critters. Well, it can't be done. Jesus did it. He removed the excuse. He came in the form of flesh and did it. He's removed the excuse. Now, what's the other excuse that people like to bring up? And this is the subconscious one, and it's not the one that you're not necessarily going to admit in the moment. But you know what holds people back and keeps them, like we heard last night, crippled? It's their past. And subconsciously, sometimes the Christian can allow our past mistakes to dictate our future progress. And that mind's powerful. It says, well, I haven't been able to do it up to this point, so why would I be able to do it tomorrow? Did Jesus come as an offering for sin? He's removed that. The past is in the past. Everybody's favorite baboon, Rafiki, right? Yeah. Bonks him on the head. The past is in the past. So what we see here is a template, is the Spirit has set us free. The requirement of the law can be fulfilled if we will walk according to the Spirit. The middle is our part, the mindset. Now, what are two things that I've noticed kind of keep people from connecting the two? Well, one, they don't think they can do it. They've allowed that infectious mindset to come in that, well, I'm just a sinner and I'm always going to sin, right? And the other one that holds people back is their past. These guys on the back dock, you know, maybe this has been you. You ever met somebody who anytime something goes good in their life, they find a way to sabotage it? You ever wonder why that is? That's because that subconscious mind realizes it's never done any good up to this point. Why would it do it now? And it finds a way. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. You know, that law of sin and death, well, what's a law? You know, a law is something that governs, right? A law is something that's unbreakable. You know, gravity is a really good example of a law. What goes up must come down. And I don't care, you know, some of these Ohio boys come out to, you know, to Montana youth camp, and it always amazes me how high they can jump, you know. Liam's one of them. You know, I just playing basketball with this guy. I can't believe how much air gets underneath his feet when he jumps, but I don't care how high you get, he's coming back down, ain't he? You know, hopefully not on, Connor's ankle. You know, that one hurts. But a law, right? Gravity. What goes up? So the law of sin and death, you know, that's an easy one to understand. What is that one? That law says you sin, you die. Chapter 6 in Romans says, wages of sin is death. Okay? All right. So what's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Is that not just as much of a law as the law of sin and death? Well, the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. That's a law. I got a law in my house. Says this, if thou touchest the thermostat, thou shalt pay the heating bill. You know. Yeah. You know, and it got touched when I was at youth camp. I noticed. Okay. It did. Yeah. 2 degrees cooler, you know. And my kids aren't tall enough to reach that thing yet, you know. That's a good one. I didn't tell her I knew that until now. Same chapter, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. I mean, I don't know how you cover all these verses. What does the Spirit do? Okay, well, oh, here's one. Okay. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, so I'm going to take kind of a two-point approach here. Okay, that Spirit intercedes for you. Okay, now he will also conform you into the image of the one who created you. And that's the message this morning. But step one is he intercedes for you. It is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That step one is Him interceding for you, getting you off of spiritual death row and putting you on a path to heaven. Interceding. Verse 34, of course, we already read earlier in Romans, right? Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Christ in you. Whose spirit is it? Just say yes. Okay. Romans chapter 8, jump down here to verse 33, says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather He who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Okay? Have we been set free? Have we been released from prison? Yeah. Do we have a job to do? Has He set us free to throw spiritual temper tantrums and to walk out the back door when it gets hot in the kitchen? See, that's your part. What does the Spirit do? He intercedes for you. Hebrews chapter 7. I tell you, boy, the first time I read this and had any clue what was going on, I never forget it. We'll probably start verse 23, but I'll preface with a question. So, many of you probably, like me, sit around and you wonder things. Okay? A lot of those questions about what heaven will be like, and you know, a lot of those, you got to wait for those answers. Okay? But you ever wonder what they're doing right now? The angels? The Lord God? Yeah. And when I asked myself that question the first time, Jesus sits down at the right hand of the throne of God, I realized that I had the wrong picture of Christ. I pictured Him walking on the earth. Do we regard Christ according to the flesh? No. He says, even we, Paul said, even though we knew Him according to the flesh, thus we know Him no longer. I had a picture of, the Eastern European Jesus, you know, with the one with the tan skin and the long hair, you know, walking around in his robe with his, you know, his dirty sandals. And then when the job was done, He went to heaven and He sat down, and now He's kind of just hanging out. Now I realized that I thought that because I never asked myself, I wonder what He's doing. Because when I sit down after a long, hard day, I like to kick my feet up and relax. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 says, the former priests, you know, the ones in the old covenant, I think Mark's got something to say about that. The priests, according to the law, he says, the former priests on one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. So that's a, you know, so, you know, how many presidents have we had? 45 or something like that? You know, so, you know, why do we have so many presidents? Well, they're prevented by term limits from continuing in office, right? Well, you know, the priests in the Old Testament, there was a bunch of them because, you know, they could only serve and then eventually they would die and then they would be replaced, right? That high priest, for example, you know, he held out his position and then he had that position. So the former priests on one hand, verse 23, existed in great numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because He continues forever, holds His priesthood permanently. Therefore, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Right? You've been set free? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free. Romans says the Spirit intercedes for you. Hebrews says Jesus Christ intercedes on your behalf. You've been set free. Pretty important component of what the Spirit does for the Christian, right? I'll give you an example. So, before COVID, I did all my Bible studies at the coffee shops, you know. And, you know, I've kind of gotten my way back there, you know, but the music's always terrible and the blenders are always so loud and, you know. But, yeah, I've moved a handful of them back to the coffee shops, you know. So this was about 4 years ago. And I'm Bible studying with a couple from Texas Roadhouse, you know, made a lot of contacts. And it's going really good, you know, proving the Bible is the Word of God. You know, we're reading the book of Acts, and it was a really great Bible study because, you know, we're reading the Philippian jailer and the Ethiopian eunuch and 3,000 people being added to the kingdom in Acts chapter. We're reading all these stories. And this guy comes up, and he's like, hey, I noticed you guys got your Bibles open. Just wanted to say that's awesome. It's good to see young people, you know, doing something good with their time. Okay, you know, really good. He says, yeah, where are you guys from? Now, in Billings, the sign out at the church says 48th Street Church of Christ, okay? And there's a story behind that, and, you know, it's a fun and good one, and, you know, I'd love to share it with you someday. So, so I said, you know, we're out there on the corner, you know, Central and 48th, you know, 48th Street Church of Christ, and he just stopped, you know, because he's leaning in. Yeah, good job, young people, reading their Bibles. As soon as I told him where the building was, he went back, and he got angry. He processed for a second, and then he leaned back in, and I've never seen anybody hit my Bible as hard as he hit it. You're them people. I'm like, where is this going, right? You're them people. And he's just slamming his finger, you know. Of course, he references 1 John, but he quotes the Gospel of John, so he's got his Bible verses all wrong. Jesus said nobody will snatch anybody from my hand. Okay, you know, he quotes first, you know, references 1 John, quotes John. Like, okay, I'm like, I don't understand your point. I couldn't agree with you more, you know. What could separate us from the love of Christ? You know, we're in Romans 8, right? That's kind of how the chapter ends. And he says, you know, of course by this point, you know, they're starting to, you know, they're just, you know. Hey, my wife was with me one time, you know. I mean, I had a guy, I mean, he was cocked and he was ready to throw a haymaker. You remember that one, hun? Off the leaf? Yeah. You know, if I hadn't have backed up and walked out that moment, I would have got clocked. You know, that's how this stuff goes, okay? So now he's just, and he says, you're them people that just baptize everyone every time they sin. And y'all just got to baptize each other every day. Okay, yeah. I said, well, that's not us. Yeah. You ever read in the Gospels and seems like Jesus is having a perfectly normal conversation with people and all of a sudden he goes, get behind me, Satan! And you're like, whoa, that escalated quickly, you know? And I remember thinking for a long time, you know, I'm like, you know, I mean, I've ran into some bad dudes in my life, but I, you know, not really sure if I could tell you that is Satan, you know. But Jesus seemed pretty confident in it, didn't he? Well, that was my first moment. You know, I spent a lot of time with Luke Wilson as a new Christian, and I remember him saying a lot of times. He said, "Man, I really hate the devil. He's just out there trying to destroy everything." Like God does. And that was the first time I realized, because I'm in a Bible study with people, I haven't even said the word baptism, and they said to me, Nolan, isn't that interesting that every person in this book got immersed when they believed? I said, yeah, that is kind of awesome. And that's right when this guy walks up. Who do you think that's from? That was the first time I realized, boy, I don't really like Satan all that much either. These people are reading the Word of God for themselves. They come to the conclusion that they need to be immersed into Christ. 5 seconds later, some guy walks up with a frowny face, seething, and his, you know, his skin around his jaw is flapping as he's smacking my Bible saying, y'all just baptize, baptize, baptize. Hey, is it possible for the Christian to stumble after their immersion? part of me kind of wonders if it hasn't happened to you. Did you have to call the local evangelist and go get baptized again, you know? That's a serious question, though, right? Maybe you've been a Christian 20, 30 years. You know, we stumble in different ways, the Bible says. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? You know, the paracletos, the helper, the one who intercedes, right? The Spirit. Isn't that kind of a cool feature of the new covenant? That when you get into Christ, your past is wiped away, and should you stumble, that's taken care of as well. You know how that's possible? Holy Spirit intercedes for you. So, no, we're not the group. If we sinned on Tuesday, we got to get baptized on Saturday, you know. Okay. That's not the group. But when we get immersed into Christ, we're clothed with Christ, amen? He lives to make intercession on our behalf. And because of this, the Bible gets to refer to us as new critters, new creations. Romans chapter 8 there, he says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, Mike hit that. What's the requirement of the law? You know, I like how he made the point there. You know, well, it's the spirit of the law, right? Because, you know, that Pharisee might have had the letter of the law down, but the spirit was all wrong, right? But let's talk about law here, for example. If the law is, if thou touches the thermostat, okay, what's the law? You're going to pay the bill, okay? Now, back where I'm from, you can go 85 miles an hour on the highway and not get in trouble. That was hard for me to drive from Detroit down to here because I had to go 60 to 70 the whole way. That was hard for me, you know. Well, I mean, I'm even old enough to remember there was no speed limit in Montana on the highway. I don't even know if you guys know that, but, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there was actually, they called, the speed limit just said whatever was reasonable and prudent, you know. So basically, the only reason the cop could pull you over is if it was raining, because if there were dry roads, you could go as fast as you want, you know. So I can go 85 and nobody's going to stop me, okay. So the law is, if the speed limit's 80, you go 80. You go 81, the cop's got the right to give you a ticket, doesn't he? Boy, aren't you thankful we're not under the law? Whew. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ sets you free. He says, so that the requirement of the law can be fulfilled in us. Okay? So God didn't crucify the old man and raise up a new creator who intercede, you know, and then intercede for us so we could warm pews on Sunday morning. Okay, you're going to hear a lot of that this weekend. Now, my illustration also involves a truck. Okay, where is Mike? Okay, there you are. You know, you know, he set us free. He intercedes for us. He made us new creations. He didn't crucify the old man so we could just warm pews on Sunday. Okay? You know, that's kind of like going out there and buying that, you know, they're $100,000 now. You know, buying that $100,000, you know, one-ton diesel dually to drive the kids to soccer practice. Why don't you throw a trailer back there and pull something with it? Right? I mean, we have the Spirit of Christ in us, amen? You know, that's not just so you can be nice to the person sitting next to you this morning. It's a byproduct of it, isn't it? Fruit of the Spirit? But is that it? Plenty of nice people in the world, right? Is that where it stops? I gotta tell you, man, them Mormons are some of the nicest people on the planet. They got the Holy Spirit? And the cool thing, I mean, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us? I mean, what kind of I mean, what's God asking of us, right? Well, here's a thought. Would God ever ask us to do something that he knew we couldn't do? Have you thought about that? If you asked your kids, sorry, I got little kids, so I guess you'll get this illustration, right? If you asked your kids to do something that you knew they could not do, what does the Bible call that? Exasperating. Is that how God is to us, his children? You think he's up there just exasperating us? Because that is what the denominational world believes. They believe that you have been set free and that you have been born again, but yet God wants you to do good, but he just knows you can't. And he's just a loving heavenly father who just loves exasperating his children. Is God, when he's, you've been set free by that spirit so that you can fulfill the requirement of the law, and you think our heavenly father who's loving and perfect up there is asking us to do something he knows we can't? Is that the spirit of our God? You know, I carried on a tradition in the school in Billings that Luke was doing probably 100 years before me. And, oh, he's still got another message this weekend, doesn't he? Oh. If you're able to get a 100 on your test, they'd fill out a congratulations slip, and then they'd recognize you in opening. So all of you guys are like the kids in opening, and I'd be up here, and so I'd come on down, and I'll take that 100 slip, and I'll say, okay, Marshall, good job, 100 on word building, you know, all right, and I'll hold it up. And so, you know, Marshall, you know, he gets to come down here and he gets to get ready, and all the kids are going, Marshall, 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 you know, and so my boy's six, and so there's five kids in his class, you know, and they're really good about getting, you know, from about me to Jeremy, you know, they get that running head start, and then they go, yeah. And they get it a centimeter off the ground. You know, there's one of them that just every time he gets a 100, you can just tell he's going to go face first down into the carpet, you know. Now, for some of them, you know, if you also haven't noticed, I'm not exactly 6 foot. So if you haven't noticed, I usually got to stand on one of them chairs. Because some of these older kids can jump. Okay? You know. So I hold that up. All right, so here we go. Let's use Ethan for example. Good job, Ethan. You got your 100 on your word building. Come on, Ethan, Ethan, Ethan. And I hold that thing a foot higher than I know he can jump. You know, we're all okay. Yeah. All right. So, you know, sometimes they don't get it the first time, right? So, all right, round two. Come on, Ethan, 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 Ethan. Yeah. But I've got it a foot higher than I know he can jump. You guys following? Ethan. Ethan, now you jump and you hit that 100 slip. Kids, you start clapping. Ethan, 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 Ethan. Foot short. Now, son, I said you jump and you get that 100 slip. You guys can feel it, can't you? Are you guys still clapping? I said clap. You clap for this boy. You know. Ethan. Ethan. That'd be a pretty rotten deal, wouldn't it? How many times does he run down the row and try and jump before he realizes he's been given a task he cannot do? And I make him go again and again and again and again. Is that what our Father has done to us? He says, Spirit sets you free. You're going to warm a pew the rest of your life on Sunday, but don't worry about Monday through Saturday. You can't really do it. But I'm going to tell you in the Bible you're supposed to. You're supposed to fulfill the requirement of the law. I'm going to tell you you're supposed to, but you can't. Is that our Father? He got that 100 slip set foot higher than we can jump? You know what's really cool? He's got it set a foot higher than man can jump, doesn't he? He's just put his spirit within us. And now we can jump a foot higher. That's what the Spirit does. Is it Dick Fosbury? You guys ever heard of the Fosbury flop? You know, way back in the day, they did that high jump in the Olympics, and they used to just jump over it like you would jump over anything, like a hurdle. Then, I wish I could remember the year. Some of you guys might have it. But relatively recently, a guy by the name Dick Fosbury comes around, and he jumps over that high bar back first. You ever seen it? Yeah. Any guys do track? You ever do high jump? No? Nobody? Okay. Well, you've seen them do it on the Olympics, right? They come, and then they jump, and they fly over the thing backwards. Because Dick Fosbury figured out that you can get a lot higher doing that. Right? See, that's what the Spirit does. He's given us a new and living way, hasn't he? Well, that's pretty appropriate for the camp this weekend, right? You see, prior to Christ, we're all trying to jump over high bars, just trying to hurdle the thing. And that bar's set too high. He gives us his Spirit, and he shows us a new way. Romans chapter 12. Well, let's go to Romans 8 real quick here. Romans 8:12 says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Look, maybe you feel like there's an area in your life where you can't jump the extra foot to get the 100 slip, okay? But the reality is the Bible tells us, okay, that he has given us his Spirit, that if we will walk by the Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of the body. That's what the Spirit does. He helps us put those things to death. Verse 14, he says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God." You want to talk about what the Spirit does? His Spirit with our spirit testifies we're children of God. You know, there's that part, you know, and I got to give my nephew Damien credit because he did such a great camper devotion at youth camp this year. But, you know, there's that part in Simba's life when he's, you know, hanging out and doing Hakuna Matata with the boys. And, you know, so Rafiki bonks him on the head and says, "The past is in the past," you know. And so he has Simba go to the water, and he looks in the water, and he sees a reflection of himself, right? And he's like, "I don't see anything," you know. And Rafiki says, "What?" He says, "Look hard," you know. Yeah. Yeah. And then he sees his father, right? Well, that's a pretty good picture for us. It says his Spirit with our spirit, what declares we're children of God. So when we become Christians, it's the Spirit, Christ Jesus in us, that gives us this new potential to jump for the 100s and to get over the high bars and to put to death the deeds of the body, if you'll walk by the Spirit. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." See, your part is to renew the mind. What has the Spirit done? The Spirit has set you free. You're on spiritual death row. You did it, and you deserve to die. The Spirit has set you free. Okay? Now, he didn't set you free so you could buy the one-ton diesel, $100,000 dually so you could drive the kids to soccer practice. He wants you to get to spiritual work. Okay? He wants you to glorify him in your body. The part in the middle is your part. It's the mindset. He says, you got to renew your mind. Look at this. He says, "Do not," verse 2, "be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Your job is to renew the mind. The Spirit does the transformation. Okay? You go to, you hold your finger here. You go to Titus chapter 3 real quick. I always have to say Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Okay, we can do this. Titus chapter 3. Verse 5 says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. What is that holy? Okay, you get immersed into Christ, you get regenerated. The past is in the past. You're made a new creation. His Spirit, with your spirit, declares that you are a child of God. And now with His Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of the body, right? So your job is to renew your mind, and it's the Spirit who does the transformation. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. You got to remember who you are. You have to renew your mind. As Christians, we have to break through from our old stinking thinking. Right? That's our part. You know, the guy that's on the back dock smoking his cigarettes, he hasn't renewed his mind. He's still thinking like the way that he used to think that got him locked up in the first place, isn't he? You know, in the illustration, has he been set free? Is he fulfilling the requirement of the job? No, he technically quit, you know, and then got rehired, you know, all in the span of 5 minutes. You know. You know, no paperwork required. And the thing that got him in that place is he's thinking the same way that he used to think that got him in trouble in the first place. Can that happen to us? See, our job is we got to renew the mind. The Spirit, He'll transform you, okay? Your old man's been crucified, and now you are free to move forward in newness of life. Isn't that amazing? That we received this. We haven't received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, which we cry out, Abba, Father. Isn't that amazing? You know? So if you mess up, it's not like, ugh. You know? I remember one time when I was a kid, I spilled orange juice on the floor in the living room. And I was in full panic mode because I knew Dad wasn't going to be happy, okay? So I called Mom. I said, Mom, how do I clean this up, you know? And she said, well, there's some OxyClean powder in the laundry room. You know, mix it with some water and see if that'll do it, okay? So I did that, and I still got caught. You want to know how? Because the spot that I cleaned ended up being cleaner than the whole rest of the carpet, you know? You know, that OxyClean sure did the job. Okay, but there was a moment when I made a mistake where I went, oh, thought I was going to be in big trouble. Is that the spirit that we've been given, leading to fear? See, the Spirit has given you the ability to be set free from your past. He intercedes for you so you can have confidence to move forward. A spirit of love and of adoption, which we cry out, Abba, Father. Jesus has removed the excuses for us. Came in the likeness of flesh. Removed that excuse that it can't be done. Became an offering for sin. Removed the excuse that you can't overcome your past. He's removed all of it. The mind. See, our job is in the middle. Our job is to renew the mind. The Spirit will conform us into the image of the one who created us. Look, I don't have time to hit all the verses this morning. But that mind, this was also referenced, that mind's powerful and it can be renewed. You know, those neural pathways that you've allowed, you know, your habits, parts of your personality, the things that you do and think, you know, a lot of those neural pathways have been going that, you know, making that trip for so long that it literally digs trenches in your brain. You guys know that? You know, there's a lot that your brain's got to process. And so, it really likes shortcuts, okay? So if it can get a neural pathway to dig a nice, good, deep channel and just kind of run that one on autopilot, then it might have some brain power to process all the new stuff that's being thrown at it, okay? You know, can those be reformed? How do you think that's possible? Through His Spirit. What's your job? Well, you have to be a willing participant in the process. You got to renew your mind. You know, when I was a kid, my dad built, he built a shed by himself. I mean, it's incredible. Usually my mom's, sitting right around, where the towers are. So, I usually get confirmation from her. But it amazes me. He built this entire huge shed by himself. And as a byproduct of it, there was this huge mound of dirt in our, we lived on 2 acres. This huge mound of dirt in our backyard. It was a child's dream, We called it the mountain, okay? So this dirt pile was at least 10 feet tall and big. And one of the things that we loved to do is we would run up on that thing. We'd do all sorts of things, but we'd like to fill up our pails of water, and we'd go up there, and we would pour water off the top of the mountain just to see how it would go down go down the mountain. Now, that water is always going to follow the path of, least resistance, okay? And so we would do that for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we'd carve these huge channels, and our favorite part was to see if we could dam it and get it to go another direction. That was kind of fun. You know what I learned in that process? Really hard to redirect water when it's carved out a path of least resistance. And even when we were able to put popsicle sticks or to stuff dirt in that area, if it would rain while we were gone, and it rained for a long period of time, guess what it did? It would erode the dam that I had made with, obstructions or with dirt, and it would carve right back down that old path. You guys see the picture? The guy smoking his cigarette on the back dog has got narrow pathways dug so deep that when the heat in the kitchen gets turned up, that brain's just going to go down that old path. And even if he tried to create a new one, it's just going to crush it down and go down the path of least resistance. Is the Christian doomed to the same fate? Absolutely not. That neural pathway can be completely transformed. How is it possible? The Spirit. What does the Spirit do for the Christian? Well, He intercedes for you, and He helps you put to death the deeds of the body, and He transforms you into the image of Christ. Our job? Willing participant. Renew our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll just close you with an illustration. That the Spirit is the life-giving force. It's the power mechanism. It's the one that can do the change. But the mind is like the soil, The mindset is what's key. Now, it's a challenge, right? Because you make some progress, and sometimes you feel like the rain came overnight and that old pathway got redug back out. Okay? But you're not doomed. You're not doomed. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, for the sake of time, he says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." You want to talk about Simba looking into a pool of water? What are we looking into? We're looking into the mirror of the Scriptures. What can you see? Corinthians says, what can you see when you look in this thing? It says you can see the glory of the Lord. As a result, we are what? Transformed into that same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. What's the Spirit do for the Christian? All kinds of things. What do I want to encourage you with this morning? The Spirit's what transforms you and conforms you into the image of the one who created you. Colossians 3 says it. Ephesians 4 says it. I'll just close you with an illustration. When I was in 8th grade, we made homemade cameras. And I'll never forget it because it was a really, really fun project. But it also showed me how easy, back in the day, how easy image capturing really is. Okay? So we made little wooden boxes, and that's all they were, with a hole in the front. Inside the box was film paper that we put on the back side of the box, adjacent from the hole that we had created in the front. You guys see that? So that way the light can come through the hole, and then it projects onto the back of the box, okay? And then we built little shutters to close them. So it only took a little bit of time, had it all built. Teacher gave us the film paper, you know, taped it in on the back there. And our job, right, so the teacher's given us all the tools to make this happen, okay? Our job was to figure out what we wanted to take a picture of, right? So I remember I went out onto the basketball court, because that's the only place I ever went when I was in school, and I pointed it back towards the school building, and there was this cool little tree in front of it. I still remember this, okay? It was 100 years ago, you know? And so I pointed it right at this tree, and I, you know, kind of propped it up a little bit and said, oh, that would be good enough, right? Opened up the shutter. They said, leave it open for a minute or whatever. Closed her back up, took my box inside, took the film in, did the chemicals, and the image came out. And it, guess what? It matched exactly what? Where I pointed my box. So I was thinking about that, and I realized, okay, where's your camera pointed? Has God given you the tools to capture the image of Christ? Has he given you his word? Has he given you his spirit? Can we see the image and the glory of the Lord? What's our part? We got to point our camera at him. We got to renew our mind. You can't just read this thing and check it off and tell everybody on, you know, Bible Hub or whatever that you read your Bible that day. That wouldn't be the requirement of the law, would it? You got to point your camera at this thing, pick an image that's worth capturing, and if you'll do that, who do you think forms the picture on the inside? That's the Holy Spirit. Your job to renew your mind. Point that thing at Jesus Christ, from glory to glory, and the Spirit will create the image, conform you into the image of Christ. Christ has set you free, and he lives to make intercession on your behalf. If you'll renew your mind, set your mind on things above, the Spirit will transform you into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, our inner man being renewed day by day. Thank you.